This is the left side. This is the right side.
Welcome back to Pretty Good Vibrations, the show that both celebrates and analyzes pop and rock music, in this case, 2000s emo music. And the central role, I mean, crucially central role it has played in our lives. This is part 5 of 5, the bittersweet ending. We're in the Elite Eight of our 2000s emo mega tournament. Jeff Martin, thanks for being back with me.
Thank you, Dan. I'm, as we were just saying before we got on, we're sad that it's over, but it's time.
It's time. All good things come to an end, like in 2009 when we stopped accepting various songs and albums for this tournament. Yeah.
I love it.
I am dealing with a little bit of a cold here. People will probably hear it in my voice, maybe even see it on my face. Gosh, I hope not. But you know what they can see right now? I did do something special for you for this final one. This is a brand new John Van Dusen t-shirt. Oh,
Jeff. Really? Oh my goodness. I like that shirt. John, how you doing?
John never puts his own name on his shirt. So this shirt just says, as long as I am in the tent of this body, I will make a joyful noise. But it's like just super old school punk rock, almost metal.
Yeah, I like
lithograph.
That. If he was really punk, though, he wouldn't even sell t-shirts like Fugazi.
he's as close to Fugazi as anybody I know.
I want him to sell lots of merch and do very well.
Yes, we love John's work. He will, I actually think his solo stuff should and will probably, I don't know about timing, I would think make it into the 2010s emo or the Lonely Forest, his old band,
would make
it into there.
Yeah.
Depending on timing, we'll have to look into that. He's more of an indie rock artist, but
sure.
I know you love him. We've talked about him on previous installments of this tournament. And okay, so we are at the Elite Eight. We've got 8 of these 2000s emo bands left.
I'm excited and I'm terrified about some of these final matchups.
Well, sure. I don't know why. I don't know what reason you would have to be terrified. It feels like the stakes must be surely almost nothing for you personally here.
Terrified.
Nevertheless, Dan, terrified.
I'm terrified. I'm not changing that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this has been so much fun, and I think we are on a time constraint here today. Plus, it's been 5.
Yeah.
And some of these were almost 2 hours long. Like,
they've heard enough, or honestly, some of them are probably just like, wow, there's 5 parts. Let's just get to the Elite Eight. So welcome to those of you who
new
maybe
listeners. This is the emo tournament version of, for those of you who just wrapped up the Clemson game, welcome to Michigan versus Notre Dame. Okay. Right. So the final 8 bands, we've got The Starting Line, Saves the Day, Cursive, Jimmy Eat World, Motion City Soundtrack, Further Seems Forever, Paramore, and Dashboard Confessional. How are you feeling about that group of bands?
Amazing list. Incredible list. Still surprised by a couple, but honestly, it's like surprising yourself because I chose them. Except for,
I mean, you mostly chose them. Yeah. I would say I'm surprised that Starting Line made it this far. I'm definitely surprised Cursive. Cursive was probably the biggest surprise.
Probably the biggest surprise.
But they did it fair and square.
They really did.
Everyone else is probably not surprising.
I would say 6 out of 8 are probably not too surprising.
Yeah. Okay. Starting Line versus Saves the Day.
Let's do it.
From Starting Line, we get Bedroom Talk from their second album, second full length, based on a true story.
I got the call when I was older, and I understood. If it happens, then it happens, and that's all. My arm's the hose and you're the fire. Gonna tear your ass up like we just
talked earlier in the Starting Line discography about how it's so powerful that Kenny is like 17 years old, 18, 19 years right. old, and writing that first full length,
right.
some of those songs when he was in high school. And there is an innocence, a naivety, a kind of organic, you know, this is coming from this young person. This song is a little bit like, look, Ma, I can have sex.
Like, I was a little surprised by that lyric.
It's very, you know, he's making choices. And I do think he continues that thread of kind of pushing the boundary and really kind of pressing on those drive-through records fans who want him to keep his spiked blonde hair and not grow it out. I mean, stuff that today seems like the most meaningless shit I can imagine.
Sure.
Whether a pop punk singer grows his hair out.
Right.
I can't even imagine giving two shits about that.
Right.
But that was his world.
Sure.
He was 20 or, you know, or whatever he was. So, but it is kind of funny.
Yeah.
The distance, there's a lot more distance for me with this song than the earlier stuff.
Yeah, he's a big kid now.
And then the next record, when they do Direction and they get into Island, the song we heard last, and they're a bit older and they're just doing a really great pop thing. This record is a little bit of that interstitial thing for me where it's like, okay, I don't know. But it is a, you know, it's very catchy.
Yeah, no, it's a cool song.
It's coming up against track two from Stay What You Are, Saves the Day's See You.
My God is burning. Won't you find me some water? Hey, just forget it. Can you bring me gasoline? Collect a couple forks, hold them.
What are we thinking?
That's a pretty easy one for me, especially considering some of the lyrical choices on the Starting Line.
I'm going to go ahead and
you can just start to move it over
and just fill that in. Yep. Okay, that saves the day.
Yeah, that saves the day by a lot. I love I love almost all of Stay What You Are. I love all of Stay What You Are. And it's a super special album. I think Starting Line made it a little further than I expected. They probably had one of the best songs of the entire tournament at the beginning.
The best of me.
Yeah. But Saves the Day takes this one, and in my mind, when I think of this era, they were one of the most prominent pieces to me for sure.
Yeah, and they hold up.
Yeah, they really do
for me as well, in a way that some of the other stuff doesn't. Well, let's spend a little time as we say goodbye to some of these top bands because these are huge bands in our lives. I have kind of if I was going to play one more Starting Line song, I know what it would be, but I'm curious what you would want to hear, or do they not have a big place?
Yeah, they don't have a huge place in my life except for that first album. So I would say anything from that album with The Best of Me, I would play something from that.
Yeah, so I want to play Leaving,
okay.
which I believe was on their first EP, and then they re-recorded it for the full length.
Yeah.
So he probably wrote this at like 17 years old or something.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And the cool thing about this song is there's a time change. Tempo, I believe it's tempo and, it's still 4-4. It's not signature time. It's not time signature, it's tempo. Mm. So the verses are slower than the chorus. And that stuff is like hard to pull off.
Yeah, it is.
By anyone. Mm-hmm. Now, you could argue, well, they were like, they didn't know any better and they just kind of tried it and it happened to work.
Yeah.
I would say that's the less charitable version. The more charitable version is like they came out the gates swinging.
Yeah.
And I really do think that time change works. It's also a great melody and just a very well-written song. So here's Leaving from Say It Like You Mean It to sort of play us out for Starting Line.
Fever, rainy days, or February, few
How do they do it so smoothly?
It was so good. Let's travel back in time.
Yeah, and then okay, so this is a little songwriter behind the scenes.
Such
because
a good song.
I would imagine that people who don't write songs would not maybe think that this would be an issue, but it happens all the time where you've got a verse you like and you've got a chorus. You start writing the chorus. I don't know, especially if you're playing on acoustic guitar or playing your guitar or playing your piano. I think these days, probably actually, when people are creating music in a more of a digital way with beats and a tempo built in, it might happen less. But when you are playing on an instrument and you don't have a metronome going, you're not playing to a click.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, this is okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And you get the chorus and you're like, that's the one. Or you have the chorus and you get the verse, you're like, that's the one. And then you try and play them together.
And they don't work.
And you realize the tempos don't work. The verse or the chorus is now too slow. Mm-hmm. And if I get that fast enough, then the verse or the chorus doesn't work and it's too fast.
Yep.
And normally what you do is you go, well, okay, let's separate those parts and find new verses and new choruses
for them.
That's what I would normally do.
Yep.
Two songs now. And you do end up losing, you know, sometimes you never find a verse for that chorus, or you never find a chorus for that verse. You never write something you like enough.
No, or you realize the verse you did write never ever equals what, you know, what the chorus, you know, was or
right.
Yeah.
Or could be.
Or,
yeah, exactly. And so then, what they did was like, well, let's just speed it up. It works and it shouldn't work. And probably in a lot of cases it wouldn't work, but it does work there. And I just, you know, as a pop songwriter, I got to give props for that.
Really good song. I think you're reminding me that this album is one I need to revisit as soon as you pressed play. Cause I didn't know, I couldn't remember what it was until you pressed play and it was a perfect song to say goodbye to. I mean, we literally said goodbye.
That's true. Okay. All right. So thank you, Starting
Thank
Line,
you.
For your service.
Thank you so much.
Next up, Cursive, Dark Horse candidate Cursive versus Jimmy Eat World.
Oh,
from Cursive, we get another song from The Ugly Organ, an album which is proving to be quite resilient.
It is.
In this tournament, we get Some Red-Handed Sleight of Hand. Oh, I forgot to say, about See You from Saves the Day, we got verse, chorus, verse, pre-chorus, all before the 1 minute mark, which is always just bonus points.
Love
for
that.
This song too is only 1:53 full length. So we're just going to kind of get into it here. We'll hear a lot of it.
And now we proudly present songs perverse and songs of lament. A couple of hymns of confession. Songs that recognize our sick obsessions. Sing along, I'm on the ugly organ. A secret, everything I hide is open lyrics. So read out, accuse me when you're done. If it sounds like I did you wrong, whoa. Our Father who art in heaven, save me from the wreck I'm about to drown in. Didn't I learn anything? Count out my sins on rosary.
This is a real test of like, are you an arty emo kid or are you a normcore emo kid?
Wow.
And I don't know how it's going to come out because this is up against Jimmy Eat World, Bleed American off of Bleed American.
Hmm.
Also, don't forget you have your pinch hitter and rain delay cards
okay.
should you want to use
Thank
them.
Thank you so much.
So here's Bleed American by Jimmy.
I'm not alone because the TV's on, I take the right pills every day and rest, clean your conscience, clear thoughts with space side with your brain, clean your conscience, clear thoughts with space side.
You better believe I just Googled Speyside. S-P...
It's a type of single malt Scotch whiskey.
I did not...
It's a region.
I did not know that at all. I'm not a big drinker. And I didn't know Speyside. I, you know, I thought more of maybe Bayside, like Saved by the Bell. But I didn't...
Not the band from this tournament.
I thought Saved by the Bell. Yeah, I thought they were definitely referring to Zach and Kelly. Yeah. No, but I...
Clear your thoughts with Bayside. Like, hey, you know what? Like, I just have had a rough day.
Let's just put that on.
Kelly Kapowski on here to kind of help get through
every geriatric millennial's first crush.
Her
or Topanga, right? From Boy Meets World.
Those were, I mean, you know those...
We shouldn't even go down.
You know those time-lapse footage shots, like, on... nature channels of like a sprouting plant very slowly coming out of the soil. Mm-hmm. That's like what I don't mean it. I don't mean it crassly, like in reference to a particular body part, but I think sort of spiritually and like holistically, that is what happened as I beheld those young women at that very important stage in my development.
Oh my gosh.
It was like I was a time lapse, but in
hilarious.
Real time.
You know? So now that we know what Speyside is, and now that we got to talk about Kelly and Topanga for a second, I mean, I think Jimmy Eat World wins for sure. I think there's a 7% chance we may have heard that cursive song before, but I think people will forgive us because of that we've been doing this for three months.
Fifth part.
But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, they do have a lot of themes about, you know, religious trauma. But Jimmy Eat World is probably going to win. So I don't know if we want to play another.
Here, you know what? Oh my gosh. So we are like 6 weeks in now to this.
These people need to.
We've done it over 6 or 7 weeks. We do one a week, but we've had to kick a couple back because of scheduling issues. Let's hear the other cursive song,
Let's make sure.
If we got to hear Some Red Hand and Sleight of Hand twice, I mean, everybody wins.
No, that's definitely a win, but let's make sure here.
And I did it last time, too. We played Art is Hard twice.
It's okay. We're getting a lot of cursive, so this is probably going to be their making sure / goodbye, but let's hear it.
Okay, so here's the casual. Actually, I want to say something about the song Bleed American before we hear this. Something that I heard for the very first time right now, you know, when Bleed American came out, what it was for me, the language I have now is I am a power pop guy at heart.
Yeah, you get it.
And a lot of my favorite emo songs are the ones that veer into power pop revival territory, which is also, I think, a good way of looking at Sherwood.
Sure.
And so that album for me immediately was about the middle. It was about a praise chorus. Mm-hmm. It was about sweetness. It was about these big pop anthems. And the song Bleed American, I wouldn't say I skip it regularly, but it's never been a top five track for me on that record. What I heard this time is there's actually, especially in the verse, there's a continuity there all the way back to Static Prevails, their first record.
Yeah.
There is something like that verse could be in a song on that first record. Mm. And let me see if I can even like get a little bit of a sense of what I'm talking about here by playing something from that record.
Wow.
Because, you know, we're not in a huge rush here. So something like the first track, Thinking That's All from Static Prevails. Listen to this kind of instrumentally, tonally, whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I do know what you're saying. And yeah, although the vocals and many, many things have come a long way.
Obviously he got such a better singer.
No, but I hear the through line. And I love those because I think about my band and some of the things that seem so distant from where we started to where we ended. But there were still certain things that you could pull through, you know, all of it. And yeah, I love hearing stuff. I didn't listen to a ton of Static Prevails. But obviously, I would say I'm a big Clarity and Futures guy. Even, you know, way more.
Static Prevails has some jams.
Whoa.
Like about half of it is awesome.
Wow. But but now we have to hear. Wow, this is a so this is another kind of
gotta get
this is another literal thing with like the goodbye song for Starting Line. Now we have the casualty for cursive. This keeps happening.
The casualty.
This keeps happening.
Maybe it's something more. Let's just say maybe it's something more about emo than it is about I don't know, any angels who might be guiding my hand here. And if that's the case, why did the angels love cursive? Which that seems blasphemous. Okay, so here is The Casualty by Cursive from Domestika.
Down the staircase, and I, for one, have felt its breezes. Equilibrium inebriated. Our social graces have been displaced. As we sink deeper into the drain, the volume increases. Nighttime resurrects spotlight, silent wars rumble somewhere below. The surface is versus. The surface is versus. The shell is trapped. Lines explode, shards of wood, some a shattered voice, and there's still a hole where the bomb was sold.
Man, I've been sleeping on that
really
earlier cursive record.
It's so really cool. Good. I knew this album more than Ugly Organ.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, that song makes it like a little closer, although Jimmy Eat World still wins. And
yeah.
I really like this. What is it? Is it Domestika?
Domestika is the album. Yeah.
Such a cool song. And they're such a unique band, aren't they? Like, they're just, they really kind of do their own thing.
Tim Kasher just coming out as a huge win in this tournament overall. Yeah. Just a big outsized place.
Not a casualty to me, but honestly, because making it to the Elite Eight was pretty amazing. I know that. I know your one friend the other guy who I feel like I sort of know, Jed. He's probably going to be mad about this.
Jed Payne from the post-hardcore tournament. Yeah.
But just let him know that honestly, Elite Eight was the word elite is in there. So
elite. They punched above their weight.
Thank you, Cursive.
Yeah. All right. So next up, we've got
Terrified.
Motion City Soundtrack versus Further Seemed Forever. From Motion City, we get LGFUAD, also known as Let's Get Fucked Up and Die. But he's speaking figuratively, of course.
Fucked up and die. For the last time we're feeling, we'll try not to smile as we cover our heads and drink heavily into the night. That's no shock and surprise. I believe that I can. Decided to die. Sister Soldier, you've been such a positive influence on my mental frame. If I could ever repay you, I would, but I'm hard up for cash and my memory lacks initiative. Goddamn, the liquor store's closed. We were so close to scoring. It hurts, it destroys till it kills. I am tired and hungry and totally
songs.
That's a cool song.
About struggling through mental illness and substance, potentially substance issues.
Yeah.
We can talk about that in a little bit because the Further Seems Forever song is Light Up Ahead from Hide Nothing, the third record and the third singer. And this song, man, this is a tough matchup.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It gets so cold. So I can live for something you lift me up.
So this is a tough one to talk about because John Bunch, who sang that song and I believe wrote the lyrics, did eventually take his life by suicide, by suicidal overdose.
Yeah.
Whereas Justin Pierre, who is the singer for Motion City Soundtrack, has made no secret of his mental health issues. He is clean and sober, as far as I know, and is still fighting it all and doing his best to thrive.
Yeah.
But I mean, so really, I mean, it's really the kind of serious end of the spectrum for these bands and these songs.
I know. I'm not as familiar with Motion City Soundtrack, especially after the album that kind of caught everyone's attention. What's the one? Is it the one before this?
How to Start a Motion City. The one that is the big one. I mean, the first one that was pretty big was I Am the Movie.
Okay. I guess that's the one that I listened to the most. And maybe I kind of
But then Commit This to Memory, the one that this song is off of, is their biggest one. This is the one Mark Hoppus produced, had radio play. Yeah.
I think I lost a little track of them after the movie one.
Sure.
But this Further Seems Forever song it's actually, even though the Chris Carrabba era is my favorite, this is actually still, I would put this in my top five Further Seems Forever songs. And my favorite album ever to sing harmony to, honestly,
like
the whole album. I, I'm a lead singer, melody guy. Like my brain is always going towards the melody, but for some reason, this album is like my favorite harmonies. I don't know why. This later album. So, even though I think the Motion City Soundtrack song is awesome, and even though I'm worried about you dragging over the little judge guy, I would pick Light Up Ahead.
No, I don't think I'm not going to veto you. I think it's a defensible choice
it's
for
such
sure.
Such a good song.
I think those two songs are both very good. I mean, Let's Get Fucked Up and Die live when they play it is so fun,
is it fun?
Because there are a couple like drop down moments where the crowd just screams the lyrics.
Yeah.
And so I almost kind of hear and feel that as I listen, because I've seen them live so many times. We did a whole tour with them, and I see them every time they're in Seattle. But that Further song, that is a special song. And it's like, now that I'm a therapist and I deal with both clients' suicidal ideation, you know, fairly regularly, and that I just have like a more nuanced view of human experience and mental health and whatever. The fact that he did not have a good ending to his story, it doesn't really detract from the power of the song for me, which maybe it would have before.
Right.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I would be curious, listeners, if you have a thought on that, especially fellow therapists. I'd love to hear if that's a weird kind of idiosyncratic thing about me, or if that's kind of comes with the territory.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's got me thinking about it.
It's interesting to hear these songs, you know, with that kind of hindsight or perspective, and knowing what ultimately happened to this guy, and even hearing the stuff that he's wrestling with, you know, in real time. And it's still so cool. Like, it's amazing that three different eras of Further Seems Forever has still made it this far. And speaking of Throughline, which we talked about, you know, with Jimmy Eat World, the Throughline of the way that the band plays and the way that the band pulls everything together, despite who their singer is a very special element to me of Further Seems Forever. And, but this song is a top five Further Seems Forever song for me.
Well, it happened, you know, not to give away previous tournaments, but there is a sense in which, you know, you get a couple former youth group kids on to do these tournaments, and the Christian bands miraculously make their way further into the tournament. How did they do it? But I do think that people who know Further Seems Forever's music, I mean, I think that they are a band's band.
They are.
You know, I think that they have a lot of respect
they do.
From other artists, and so I think it's defensible.
Yeah.
All right, well, if we're saying goodbye to Motion City, you know, I've talked about them a lot on the show. I don't know that we need to play another clip. They get a lot of love.
They've gotten a ton of love.
Here on Pretty Good Vibrations. Yeah. So, love you guys. Excited for, they're coming back later this year.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go hang out.
Awesome. Thank you, Motion
City. So, Further goes on. Motion City, we say goodbye. And now we are at Paramore versus Dashboard Confessional.
Wow.
From Paramore, we get All I Wanted, also from Brand New Eyes.
I think I'll pace my apartment a few times and fall asleep on the couch and wake up early to black and white reruns that escape from my
Okay, and this comes up against, this is a moment where I don't love what the Spotify listeners have given us, which is stolen from the album Dusk and Summer. And if you were to want to use something like a pinch hitter here, I would understand, Jeff.
Thank you for understanding.
So do you want to hear it or do you want to just call something now?
Let's hear it because I can't think of the song off the top of my head. Yeah. So let's just hear it.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Here's Stolen from Dusk and Summer by Dashboard Confessional.
Invitation only, grand farewells. Crush the best one of the best ones. Clear liquor and cloudy.
That's actually better than I remember it, especially the kind of post-chorus.
For sure.
But the kind of pre-chorus, You Have Stolen My Heart, is like, was written for fucking TikTok reels or whatever.
He didn't know about TikTok reels when he made
this. I know he didn't, but it's like perfectly excerptable in a way that kind of sticks with me, but I do like the sort of post-chorus or whatever.
Yeah, maybe he did know, honestly, with... When I accidentally listened to Joe Rogan a few weeks ago, like I mentioned, anything's possible. Maybe he did know about TikTok.
Maybe he saw it all coming.
That song actually is pretty good. So I'm sorry that I even winced at that song when you first mentioned it. I just didn't remember what it was.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
It's a weird matchup though, right? Like it's not,
Paramore song is verging on active rock. Like, you know, we talked a little bit about Evanescence in a previous episode. Like, it's such a better version of that kind of heavy rock with a female vocal, but it's really good.
Yeah, it's like such a good version of that. I didn't love that song, although their guitar tones are just kind of amazing. I think I forgot.
Yeah, I do like that chorus.
Yeah, it's good. What would be...
So you're going Dashboard.
I think I would...
You're going to just cry your way through this whole thing.
Yeah, and how do we have Further Seems Forever and Dashboard in the final four? But at the same time, it makes sense though. Right?
Is there any individual person in this tournament, individual band member, that more personifies 2000s emo than Chris Carrabba?
Nope. The answer is no.
Probably not.
The answer
is no. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Dashboard takes
it. Dashboard takes it. And honestly, just by a little bit. And I kind of like that they were both like lesser songs by both of the bands. And still Dashboard still had, to me, a little bit of an edge and still a little bit more representation of the era, but Paramore, Elite Eight, and obviously, I mean, what can you say about Paramore? I mean, they're still going, they're still amazing, and I don't know if you want to say farewell to them. Did we hear that one song by them that I just absolutely love? Don't you love that I said that and you have no idea what I'm talking about?
Misery Business or Still Into You? We didn't hear Into You, which is a song I love. Actually, it might not. I think that might not qualify. Yeah, it's from 2010, so that would probably be in.
Okay.
I mean, Misery Business is the big one from Riot.
That's not the one I'm thinking. That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Well, I don't know.
We can.
If you think of it, we can edit. You can let
edit,
me know.
We can edit this out if we have 5 seconds for me to find it. Is
yeah, go for
it. It's you're hearing music in real time from my phone. Sorry.
I do. Yeah.
That was terrible. That was very unprofessional. I can't find the song, Dan. And it's a song that I've actually covered before, like in. Oh, it's 2013. It doesn't count. It's Daydreaming. Do you know that song?
I don't think I do know that song.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? Maybe it'll make it onto the 2000s
one. I'm texting it to you right now.
Send it to me.
Okay. But thank you, Paramore.
Thank you, Paramore. Great work. As I said, we need more famous people who are as cool as Paramore.
You're great.
We have reached the limits of the visual logo bracket, so we're just going to be seeing Spotify now at this point.
Okay.
So, all right, we got the final four. We have the Mount Rushmore of 2000s emo. Saves the Day, Jimmy Eat World, Further Seems Forever, and Dashboard Confessional. And wow. It feels pretty right.
It feels right. Super right.
Feels so good.
I can't believe how right it feels.
I'm sorry if
you're hearing anything else. I'm at my house right now, and my 3-year-old child might be beginning nap time, but it's okay.
Okay. All right. Saves the Day versus Jimmy Eat World. This is
this is unbelievable.
This is the most difficult decision.
This is where the pain really sets in.
From Saves the Day, we get Nightingale from Stay What You Are. And this is Up Against, from Jimmy Eat World, Pain, off of Futures. I don't feel the way I've ever felt. I know, gonna smile and not get worried. I try, but it shows. Anyone can make what I have built. And better now, anyone can find the same white pills. It takes my pain away. It's a lie. Kiss me.
Before I have to deal with this hard decision, I just want to say something nice. You look really good in a hat. I was just noticing, and I think it's a really good look for you.
It's because I haven't showered yet today.
Yeah, but don't worry about that.
Most of the time that I wear,
just take
that's
the, take the compliment. It looks nice.
I'll take it. Thank you.
I'm not sure what the other two songs will be. This is probably the hardest choice for me the whole tournament. It's really close. And for some reason, like, you know, if I was just going with my gut reaction, just by the smallest amount, it's Jimmy Eat World. And actually, Pain isn't even one of my favorite songs on Futures.
Same.
But even
Absolutely.
Still, so even if we delayed it, I guess it would go to a Bleed American song, but if we delayed it to another Futures song, I think it would even put them even to another level. I love Nightingale. Yeah. Nightingale is actually one of my favorite songs off Stay What You Are.
Yeah.
But I think, my gut reaction is Jimmy Eat World.
I think it makes sense. Pain is, there's a kind of genre of rock single that Jimmy Eat World has. And Pain is one of them. Just Tonight is one of them. Yeah. Bleed American, the song that we heard earlier, is one of them. Mm-hmm. And then as they go, you know, my best theory for later stuff, they have this kind of, it's just on that active rock boundary. Yeah. I think it's probably similar to, from a radio promotion perspective, similar to what Paramore does, yeah, where there are these more melodic, more ballady kind of major key, more sappy, for lack of a better term, yeah, more me kind of targeted, mm-hmm, songs that I love, more poppy. And then there are these kind of darker ones that will maybe get played on the heavier rock stations, yeah, and would make it sense for them to play some of these more rock festivals, mm-hmm, and, yeah, stuff like that. And that's just never my favorite Jimmy Eat World stuff. Mm-hmm. But I still like it.
Of course. It's still Jimmy Eat World.
They're just one of my favorite bands. Yeah. So I will listen to it.
Yeah.
Whereas, the more poppy kind of major key stuff is more my jam.
Sure.
But yeah, so way to go, Paramore.
Saves the day.
Way to go, Saves the Day.
They're so good. They're so good.
I feel we've heard a lot of Saves the Day. I don't think we need to hear any more, but great band.
Because of this tournament, I've actually been revisiting Saves the Day quite a bit.
Yeah.
And they like we even said 20 minutes ago, they really do hold up in a lot of ways. Even the stuff before this, the stuff after this,
at some point it starts to drop off, and I think that they've kind of hurt their brand.
I agree,
probably.
But I guess I just mean the album right after this. But you know, through that three album run of Through Being Cool, Stay What You Are, mm-hmm, and then the what's their blue album, In Reverie.
Yeah,
that's a.
Although David Stewart on the Hot Takes episode where we talked about Saves the Day, he made a pretty compelling case for Sound the Alarm, that next record.
Yeah, I because of that podcast, I tried. David, I did. Yeah. I want you to know I tried. look at me trying to become friends with all your friends.
That's great.
I want you to know that I tried, and I still couldn't get into that one much, especially even as someone who loves Saves the Day. Aside from MXPX, I don't think there was another band when I was in late high school and early college that I tried to tell my friends about more than Saves the Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you were.
I was a true Saves the Day guy. So anyway, it's hard to say goodbye to them, but Final Four is a pretty good showing.
Pretty good showing. All right. So Jimmy Eat World goes on to the final, and now we've got Further Seems Forever versus Dashboard. Chris Carrabba.
That's amazing.
And that is how it's shaking out.
It's
we are back to a Carrabba Further song, and it is one of my favorites. New Year's Project from the Moon is Down is what we're getting from Further.
The keeper of these hands to hold you now. It is a far cry more than anything that I
I mean, are
painful you painful to stop playing that?
Are you kidding me with that song?
Seriously?
No, I can't believe. I have no words.
I don't think any Dashboard song will beat that. But let's see.
Let's see.
And I love this Dashboard song. I do love it. I do also hear it in CVS sometimes. It has risen to a CVS song.
CVS core. CVS core.
CVS core. Exactly. It's Don't Wait. I think this is kind of a slept-on song by emo fans.
Let's hear it.
From Dusk and Summer. I'm so glad that you have to make this decision and not me, honestly.
I think it's probably a little easier for me than it is for you. I like the song Don't Wait. And mm-hmm. I was thinking that second Don't Wait, which is really high, he's probably going to be regretting that during the reunion tour.
Don't Wait.
Yeah, yeah, it's so high.
Ooh, he's, with a cold, that's really hard.
Yeah, that's really hard. Dan, honestly, for me, the New Year's project destroys that song.
Okay.
I mean, I could.
Oh, that's fine with me.
I actually can't believe how much it's going to win by, but Chris can't be mad because it's him.
It's him versus him. He can't. He's got nothing to complain about.
I thought that one.
I think there is something about.
I like the Don't Wait song. Don't get me wrong. I do like it.
It gets into a like a halftime groove that is not as common in this genre. Mm-hmm. That for some reason, in my view, they just pull it off.
Yeah,
it
they do. Lands, oh, they do.
And it's special, but. You mean the guitar work on New Year's Project?
Can't,
I mean
the drumming. Can't believe. Can't
the drumming. It's unbelievable. That drum. By the way, that drumming. One time, I did. I think he might have just been. He might have been placating me, but I think I impressed my buddy Josh Jeter, who used to work at Tooth & Nail Records, that I could air drum that chorus accurately with all the seemingly random tom hits and. Weird snare fills. Yeah. I mean, that dude is the like least predictable drummer of any band I love,
agreed.
Probably.
Yeah.
And like one time we were just driving around Seattle and I was like, he was watching me. He was like, you got every
part. Really hit all
like,
the parts.
Yeah, dude. I really know this song. I kind of I was playing along this time and I kind of missed.
Well, okay. So here,
I'm a little rusty.
Here's a good
I'm
way rusty. To think about it when you're really, when we're really going through tournaments like this. Has there been a harder song to turn off than that one in this tournament? I mean, listen.
Oh, they're just getting to that. Like, you're getting to that like huge crescendo moment.
We couldn't wait for it. So, Chris saying goodbye to Chris is, you know, it's not as hard as I thought it would be because we still have him for the final the final round. But further seems
we still have him with
further seems forever goes to the next round, with one of the best songs of the entire tournament.
To the finals. Okay, so I saved my Chris Carrabba story. For the end. This is for people who had the patience to stick around.
I love those people.
Okay, here's my favorite personal dashboard confessional story, actually. Yeah. It's not a Further story. We did play a festival with Further once, and the guitarist was living in Germany for a while. I think his wife got a job there or something. Hmm. And he came to our show in Berlin.
Oh, wow.
Berlin. And or maybe Cologne or something. And we got to hang out with him that night, which was, for me, I was just so starstruck. He was a very cool, very down-to-earth guy. Yeah. But the better story is the dashboard story. So 2010, I think, Nate and I played an acoustic festival in Utah.
Okay.
The promoter, really nice dude, always treated us well, shot big for this like acoustic festival, outdoor, got a bunch of big bands, got Dashboard, Third Eye Blind, 311. Reliant K played, Steel Train played. This is before Jack Antonoff was in Fun and before he became the mega producer of the world.
Yeah.
And there was a really nice backstage. So we played earlier in the day, of course. Sherwood played earlier, like 3 or 4 p.m. Mm-hmm. And Chris Carrabba was the headliner. And he had kind of been around a little bit, like there were these golf carts that would take people from the backstage area, which was kind of a ways from the stage, take them and their guitars, you know, ferried us back and forth between backstage, between the actual stage and sort of the indoor backstage area where all the catering was and everything. And I ran across Chris Carrabba at one point earlier in the day. And I was like, hey, man, I know it's, you know, I know everybody, you probably get tired of like band dudes talking about your old band.
Yeah.
Further Seems Forever. But I just got to say, like, I love both projects and it'd be so cool to hear something from The Moon Is Down today if you want to. And he was like, I appreciate that. You know, we'll see.
Thanks so much for saying
that. I didn't think too much of it. But then I got kind of caught up backstage around the time of his set because I was chatting with Jack Antonoff and Matt Thiessen of Reliant K.
Wow.
And it was just a fun conversation. Like, they hadn't really met, and I had turned Thiessen on to Steel Train. Maybe it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. I like to take credit for it, but I think I had turn him on to that record because it was they did a really cool self-titled record. And so we were chatting, and I was not out there for the first half or whatever of the Dashboard set. And I got some texts from my other bandmates that were like, Dan, he just played The Moon Is Down, the song, and he totally messed it up and forgot all the lyrics.
No, he did not.
And he like kind of struggled his way through it and like made a little joke or whatever. And I was like, and they were like, you probably should be here.
That's unbelievable. You messed up his set.
I messed up his set at this festival that he was the headliner.
That is my favorite thing that I've heard today.
I feel bad. I felt bad then. I still feel a little bad. Then.
That's amazing.
The organizer had set it up, and he probably paid Chris extra to write a song for the festival.
Wow.
And this was going to close out the whole festival, and we had all been sent this song that we were supposed to learn and come on stage and do gang vocals, like choir vocals, with Chris Carrabba for this final song. And not only had I not learned the song.
Of course not.
Maybe I knew the chorus or something, but what I was really trying to do was avoid eye contact with him. Because I was afraid he would remember that it was me who asked him to play the song that he fucked up live.
That is so amazing. And he's like, there's only one person who's not allowed out here during the gang vocal part. This
get
guy.
Get him off the stage.
He gives me.
So I did go up and sang, but I like, you know, I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
So, and I'm easy to see and a bigger guy. So I like kind of put myself behind some other people or whatever to avoid eye contact. And I didn't speak to him again.
That's such a good story.
The rest of the day.
Hey, I think you had a great idea, and he wasn't ready. He just wasn't ready for it. But he somehow took your idea and still wasn't ready.
No, he chose. He's responsible for his own
set. He had a choice.
No, not me.
But so we say goodbye. Yeah, we say goodbye to half of him right now.
Say goodbye to half of him, and the other half lives on to fight against Jimmy Eat World.
Unbelievable.
So here we go. The 2000s emo, 45 bands down to 2. From Jimmy Eat World, we will get, oh my goodness, a praise chorus. I love this song so much. Here we go.
Are you gonna live your life standing in the back looking all around? Are you gonna waste your time? Gonna make a move or you'll miss out. So someone's gonna ask you what it's all about. Stick around, nostalgia won't let you down. So someone's gonna ask you what it's all about. What you're gonna have to say for yourself. I'm good to go. All I need is just to hear a song I know. I wanna always feel like part of this was mine. Wanna fall in love tonight.
For all the marbles.
Here we go.
Up against, interesting, The Bradley from The Moon Is Down.
Okay.
Not the next track I would have picked, but a good song.
Still good.
You can be little bits. This could change everything.
Can't believe this is it, Dan.
that's a cool song, but it's kind of meandering.
Yeah.
It's like an album track. I don't really know what has elevated it to their fifth most popular song. That's kind of weird to me, but
yeah, a little bit.
That's what people love.
Yeah, and here we are. I mean, do you believe how many songs we've listened to and how many weeks this has been?
It is really, it's bittersweet. What we've talked about, you and I will find
some
more things to podcast
about. We should have some people tell us some topics that they want us to explore. Anything from Counting Crows to Pedro the Lion to other things.
I think also I've got some ideas for maybe you and I doing something for You Have Permission.
Okay.
I got some ideas.
So if that Jimmy Eat World song was up against the New Year's Project, I think the New Year's Project would have won. But we're just talking about song to song, and I don't want to do a rain delay because this is what we
You want to just kind of let the end
exactly.
Be
this
the
is
end,
the end,
you know.
Right. And the Bradley, like you said, is kind of a deep cut, and it's still great, still part of one of my favorite albums ever. But Jimmy Eat World wins.
Yeah.
And a Jimmy Eat World versus Further Seems Forever final is
felt right.
Beautiful. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So Jimmy Eat World wins, and
the Kings, the sad boy princes of 2000s emo. Jimmy Eat World. I mean, that feels, nobody is
going. No one's going to argue with that.
Quibble with
if they
that.
Quibble with no, that, they're not so. they don't belong here.
Are they, if they quibble with that, are they even really emo?
Were they even listening to this music during this time?
Were they even there?
And even if Jimmy Eat World had, if we even had Clarity as part of this, it would have been even more over.
Well, and that's going to be interesting because they've got a real shot at the
early.
At the 90s, or what we call, I think we're just calling it first wave, maybe.
Yeah, and I hope whoever does that doesn't let this, you know, detract from what they can bring to that tournament.
They will have a chance to compete there, as well as 2010s. They've got records in the 2010s, so they'll be in all three. They've got a real presence. But this is probably their peak era.
Yeah.
Although, you know, a lot of fans would put Clarity. So it remains to be seen how well they'll do with that record.
Yeah. What a fun tournament. I don't know. I mean, do we need to say bye to Further Seems Forever, or have we?
I don't think so.
We've
done it.
Yeah.
I love them. I mean, is there a song that doesn't have Caraba on it that you really love? There might be worth playing one more by them. From How to Start a Fire or Hide Nothing?
Yeah, let me see the Hide Nothing track list. Yeah, I like that. Make It Apart.
That's a good song. Light Up Ahead is definitely my favorite song on that record. And The Sound is definitely my favorite song on
How to Start a Fire. We heard the four best songs, right? We heard The Sound, we heard Light Up Ahead, we heard New Year's Project, we heard The Moon Is Down, and did we hear one other? We must have heard one other one from the first one.
Yeah, heard Snowbirds and Townies.
Those are literally the five
Just
best
Until
songs.
Sundown is the song off of that record that I love that we
did.
Then
let's end with that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that will play us out, and I will say to you, Jeff Martin, of this day and age, deepest gratitude
from my
heart joining for this. So fun.
It's so fun, man. I really, really enjoyed it. And thank you. Thank you for letting me be a part of it. And I look forward to whatever's next.
And anybody who made it this far through,
what
is it, probably 6.5, 7.5 hours of 2000s
EP. It's a lot.
They should get a merit badge for this of some kind or some sort of digital token.
Yeah,
they should get an NFT.
We could send them.
Everybody should get an NFT for making it this far.
We could send them something. So let us know.
I could whip up a JPEG real quick. Okay. So playing us out is Caraba and Friends. On that first Further Seems Forever record, even though they didn't win, we're letting them play us out.
Yep.
Jimmy's going to continue to get more love on other tournaments.
Yep.
Here is Just Until Sundown by Further Seems Forever.
Just in case it